My name's Greg, as you've probably heard, and we've been here for 16 and a half years. We came on the first Sunday. We went to church first, my church in Bundara, and drove from there to here. And that was our first, we arrived on that first Sunday in February. Let me pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Like the two letters of Paul to Timothy, Timothy was in Ephesus, Titus is in Crete. The letter to Titus in Crete is not tightly organized. Paul can deal twice with one subject in a single chapter. The last verse of the previous chapter, Titus 2:15, orders Titus to teach the things Paul is about to spell out in today's passage and next Sunday's passage. Titus has all authority to encourage and rebuke the Christians in Crete. How Christians behaved in contemporary society was of very great importance in leading others to follow Christ. Christians are to be subject to rulers and authorities, as Paul writes in verse 1 of chapter 3. Moreover, Christians should be ready for every good work. We heard that from Rob before, referring to the last verse, verse 8. Moreover, Christians should be ready for every good work. Indeed, the theme suggested for this sixth passage from the letter to Titus is devoted to the good. The Cretans might be turbulent enough to implicate the church in political agitation. Titus is to discourage such political agitation. That's in verse 1. Christians are to be peaceable and considerate and always to be gentle towards all people. The challenge for us later Christians is whether we have drifted back into a worldly pattern of thought and conduct. Paul reminds Titus that he and Paul were once foolish, disobedient and led astray, just like others in the Christian community. And we, like Paul and Titus, need to take some responsibility for not being compliant with what God wants. Previously, Paul and Titus were slaves to various passions and pleasures. They and others passed their days in malice and envy. They were hateful or odious, as well as hating one another. Paul makes strong use of we in verse 3. We is already there in the ending of the verb, but Paul adds we too. So Paul is including himself in the criticism of their earlier behaviour. I was surprised to open up my Greek text and discover that verses 4 to 7 of Titus chapter 3 were in poetry, like the early Christian hymn to Christ in Philippians chapter 2, which we sometimes read instead of a creed. We may, as we did when Rob was leading our service on the third Sunday in June, in the third form of the word and prayer services in the Sydney Diocese book that we use. And in this poetic burst in Titus chapter 3, Paul echoes in verses 4 and 5 the action of God. He says that when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. This salvation was not because of any work of righteousness which we had done. No, it was according to God's renewal of us by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. And here the reference to washing no doubt refers to baptism in water, which led to regeneration of the believer. This Spirit God poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. We are justified by God's grace. God's grace and God's mercy are crucial. The intention was that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Paul caps off the poetry by emphasising that the saying is absolutely sure. Again, that first sentence in verse 8 is emphatic. So as John Stott points out, we have to come to terms with the concept of salvation. Why salvation is necessary, where it originates, what it rests on, how it comes to us, what it leads to, and how it proves itself. Eternal life is the content of the hope in verse 7. But action on this hope is necessary. And in the rest of verse 8, Paul says that those who have come to trust in God should be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things, Paul concludes, are excellent and profitable for humans. Paul wants Titus to repeat and promote what Paul wants the Christians in Crete to do. As Ben has reminded us more than once, Crete is a long island in the Mediterranean, about 250 kilometres long. It is, however, quite a short distance from the northern coast to the southern coast in many places. Joan and I were taken by bus from Heraklion on the northern coast, where the remains of the Palace of Minos are, to the start of a gorge at 1,200 metres above sea level. We walked down from there through what is the longest or second longest gorge in Europe, the Samaria, I think they would say today. It's the word Samaria. Why was it called that? Because in the middle of that long gorge, there was a church of Samaria. And it was a safe place for the Christian refugees to go because they could get up on the walls of the chasm and throw rocks and spears and so on from there. So Samaria. The gorge takes 5 to 7 hours to walk, but has towering walls and walking paths beside the creek for long distances. And at the end, the beach consists of black sand, but the water is beautiful. We were picked up from the beach by a boat that took us to a nearby town and another bus back to where we were staying on the north coast. On an island the length of Crete, there must have been quite a few churches for Titus to visit and impress on the elders, who would in turn urge the Christians in the churches of Crete that they should devote themselves to every good work. At the beginning and the end of today's reading from Titus, Paul urges that Christians do good. In verse 1, Titus is told to remind others that Christians should be ready to do whatever is good. Paul commits to Titus the message that elders are to urge the members of their church to be submissive to rulers and authorities. They are not merely to submit to rulers with whom they agree. The Roman imperial court and Roman governors in the provinces made many decisions that Christians would find difficult. But Roman officials had the power to punish inhabitants by crucifixion and in gladiatorial contests in Colosseums. There were occupational armies in many provinces. In the modern world, churches should build or repair buildings according to city or municipality regulations. We are to obey the rules that have been imposed on us. And in verse 8, Titus is told to stress that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. It would be good if members of each of our congregations could from time to time discuss among themselves how we could do good in our communities. We could talk together about the social climate in our community, whether it is Picton or Wilton, and how we may better implement the gospel of Christ in our neighbourhood. The community kitchen each fortnight at St Mark's reaches out to those who need help with food, paying $15 and choosing $40 worth of food. Grieving with those who have lost a loved one can continue long after a funeral. I am conscious, for example, of men who have lost their wives some years ago and who still miss them terribly even now. And there are some elderly people who cannot easily get out of their own home and whom it is really rewarding to visit and chat to. Let each of us work out what is the good to which we shall be devoted. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for saving us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, and for making us heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Help us in our community to devote ourselves to doing what is good. Amen.